All right, if you'll stand with me, we'll turn to page 356. Page 356. All right, on the first. Wonderful story of love, tell it to me again. Wonderful story of love, wake the immortal strain. Angels with raptures announce it. Shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. Wonderful. 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 Wonderful story of love. On the second. Wonderful story of love, though you are away. Wonderful story of love, still needs all today. Calling from Calvary's mountain, down from the crystal bright fountain, heaven the congregation. Wonderful story.
Chase got the memo this morning about jackets and was right in line there. He said he rode home with me yesterday from the retreat. So we, oh man, that's a scary thought. Well, it's good to see you all this evening. Trust you had a good afternoon. Took a few minutes to rest and recuperate. But let's go ahead and take a couple minutes now and welcome each other in the Lord.
Thank you. Thank y'all. Y'all can be seated. Choir's going to sing a song called I Can Do.
Turn to page 43. What can wash away my sin but nothing but the blood? On the first.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
With me, page 485. This world is not my home. Alright.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and
see. On the third. All right, we'll go here on the third. Change it up a little bit.
I have a loving Savior up in glory land. I don't expect to stop until I am with Him. He sent me when heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
On the last.
Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Thank you very much. You can be seated.
Amen. I guess she was here Wednesday night, but I wasn't here Wednesday night. So I just want to take note that Miss Margie Dominey is with us this evening, and we're so thrilled to see her. Amen. Well, I wanted to share a couple things with you. First of all, concerning the offering this morning for the Cuba Bible Project, as of this morning, or as of at this point, there's been this morning's offering was $2,400. We praise the Lord for that. But some months ago, there was an individual from the church had given $500 towards that. So that's from Metropolitan, nearly $3,000 towards that project. And there may well still be some come in towards that. And, of course, it will get added to that as well. Also, what I'd ask you to continue to pray for Mike May. He's still in the hospital. They're going to run some tests tomorrow. Got a GI thing going on, more tests there. And Carolyn Reeves will be having her surgery in the morning early. She's scheduled for about 7 o'clock, so be mindful of Sister Carolyn as you go to sleep tonight and, of course, in the morning. And then, of course, we do want to continue to pray for the Leatherman family. Pray for Brother Lewis and the girls. Just pray for his sustaining hand and comfort for them. We sure appreciate them. And what they mean to this church as well. Well, this evening, please be turning to two places again. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, and the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Doesn't matter which one you get to first. We're going to read them. And we're going to read in John 1 first. You get your place there. John chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 5. When you found your place, stand with me in respect to the Word of God. John chapter 1, reading in verse 4, says, "In Him was life," of course, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light," capital L, "that all men through him might believe. He," speaking of John, "was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." Then we, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, picking up in verse 13, where it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Father, once again, we are so thankful to be gathered together in that name, the name that is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for these dear folk. We're so grateful for our church family, and we pray for your blessing, your strengthening, your help for each and every member of Metropolitan Baptist Church. So grateful and thankful that Sister Margie could be back with us tonight. Pray you do for her. Continue, Father, to strengthen her and enable her. We pray for Sister Carolyn Reeves, Lord, please do for her and the surgeon tomorrow as they take care of this issue for her. Mike May, as they search out what's going on with him, hopefully they can correct his situation very quickly. And Father, throughout our congregation, there's others that are battling this and that physically, spiritually. We certainly hold up the Leatherman family to you and ask for your sustaining grace. We know that thou art a God that is able to meet every need and in every situation. So, Father, please do for Brother Lewis and his daughters, the entire family, Lord, in your good mercy, your wonderful grace. Father, this evening, as we've met together, we come here, Father, not in our own name or even in the name of this church, but in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. It's our longing, our desire to hear from you tonight. This dear church family doesn't need to hear from Jim Turner. Father, that you'd step in and communicate to us exactly what you'd have for us. And we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for everything and all things that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Of course, we'll be seated. Now, again, I had the privilege this week to travel with Brother Bruce Martin to St. Clair, Missouri, and heard a lot of good preaching. It was a tremendous preacher's meeting there. The church there just determines, they do this every other year, and to minister to preachers and bring preachers in. And it was a blessed time, and I enjoyed it and challenged my heart along the way, of course, as you get preached at. And then we had the opportunity, as we left there, delivered Brother Bruce to the airport so he could get back here to get ready to leave for Puerto Rico on Tuesday. So pray for him and Provy. They'll be going to Puerto Rico on Tuesday, be gone about a week. But I went on from there and met the men at Stillwater for the what they call the men's advance. And some of the fellows have been there that weren't able to go this time. But it's a very unique meeting, to say the least. And this year, I think there was somewhere around 1,600 men in one room and there to just worship God. When you get 1,600 men that aren't afraid to talk about how they love God, lift their voices to praise God, not afraid to shout and honor Him when God blesses their heart, and It is a unique meeting of the meetings. I mean, I think this is the fifth or the sixth time I've been able to attend the men's advance, and each time it is a unique in its own way. And I didn't think of it before. I should have done this even before we read the scripture. Didn't want to warn them, but I just wanted to know if any of the guys that were up there this week might have a word of testimony or praise that they might want to share about something God did in their heart there at the men's advance. Curtis, you can start.
Thank you.
right around that same time of April. Amen. Any of the other guys that have something they'd want to share? Curtis, I can volunteer him, being he has to get a paycheck from us. Anybody else want to share a word, testimony that went? Brother Chuck and then Chase. Amen. Amen. I know the sound guys are, the streamers back there, they can't get any of this, but we're just apologizing to folks on the other end. Brother Chase. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Colton.
All right, I'm going to be as loud as Billy does. But I was also my first time to go. It was really an encouragement to see all the men of God over there. Whenever they asked the pastor to come up the last night, there were just, there were at least, I'd say, 50 churches that were being represented there. It was just an encouragement. And it was also a lot of challenges. After each sermon, the pastor would come up and have this little page that you'd write based off of James 1:22. Be not here is the word, do it only, digging ourselves. That we write something down that we're going to change in our lives for. I'd recommend we do that in everything we hear. Anytime we hear teaching, a sermon, anything, we write down what are we going to do about it. We kind of get away from it. We say, oh, that's good, amen, and we go home and we don't do anything. So it kind of opened my eyes to that, and the giants that I'm allowing into my life, that I'm sharing a bed with, I'm allowing into my camp, that I'm butting up with them, and they're destroying my life. Kind of open my eyes to getting them out and not being a part of it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Colton. Anyone else, guys? I don't know who else. Brother? Amen. Amen. As a pastor, it's so good to be able to have the confidence to be able to take my men somewhere where I'm not going to have to worry about them experiencing a rock concert or something. The music is God-honoring. In fact, Pastor Wayne Harding, he has a tremendous men's group, 12 men, a bunch of Okies. For the most part, they just do a fantastic job. Most of the music they sing is he wrote himself, but to know that I can take my men, not be embarrassed in that way, and know that they're going to hear uplifting messages and challenging messages from the Word of God. And again, just to kind of step away and the routine and the busyness, and let God deal with you for, even if it's just a, just that short time, 24 hours, not even that really, about 20 hours. I know it's always a help to me. Well, great. Unless there's anybody else. I can't remember even who else went other than Daniel. He cut his head down. Did you have anything you'd like to say? I could tell he's wanting to say something. Let's see, was there anybody else that I won't pick on you, Joseph. We're going to talk about shining for the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. Thankful for His good mercy to us, of course. And let me ask you a question. You know, I always like to ask questions, but this is an easy question. Have you ever been out walking on a dark night and you're depending on a distant light somewhere? Maybe it's a street light down the way or whatever, but there's a light, a distant light that you're using to guide you. And depending on that light, it may be the light is giving you direction. You know that that light is the light from the house, or maybe a light on the way to somewhere, but you're using that light for some direction, maybe for some security. That security from things that go bump in the night, and you're just thankful for a light out there. Whatever the case, you're depending on that light. It's your hope of safety, and it provides a measure of peace, does it not? Peace of mind, confidence of soul there in the darkness. The Lord Jesus Christ is, as John 1 tells us, the light. Remember, John 1, it's capital L there. The light of the world. He is, as is recorded, the true light that lighteth every man. He's the light, then, of the believer's peace. He's the light of the believer's security. He's the light that gives hope and peace of mind to ensure our safety. We think of that, even that safe arrival in glory someday. But the Lord Jesus Christ declares for us, as we read in the Sermon on the Mount, that His disciples, His followers, are to be, as we read, the light of the world. And I know a lot of preaching goes on from this passage. And in fact, someday I want Brother Bruce Martin to preach a message that he preached down in Lubbock, Texas. I don't know if he ever preached it here before, but he dealt with this subject and this truth from the aspect of the technical or scientific aspects of light. And, you know, I've heard all kinds of messages on this passage, but it was different, to say the least. And it was very, very good as well. I appreciate it. Well, what are some things the Bible tells us about being a light? Now, and then we're not talking about what light does, but what we're to be as light, as we are instructed here to be the light of the world. Well, we see the exhortation of the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all. Just 2 points tonight. I wouldn't even mention how Joe was telling me. I kind of preached long this morning. Oh, I wasn't supposed to mention that, Joe. But that's okay. I knew I looked down at my watch this morning. I thought, wow, where did the time go? It must have been that extra offering. It took up too much time. Couldn't have been that I preached long. But the exhortation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we, as we've already said, believers are to be light. And the Lord gives us instruction about that light. We're not left in the dark concerning how we're to be the light. And we see, first of all, that we are to be a light that cannot be hid. In verse 14, where he says, and this is in Matthew 5, where Jesus says that ye are, not that you should be, not that you possibly could be, but that you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And again, the Savior, our Lord Jesus, uses the picture here of a city that had been built upon a hill to describe the kind of lights that you and I ought to be. Imagine it, if you would. Now, if we, in a couple hours here, if we turned off all the lights in this auditorium, and I just set a single candle on top of this pulpit, and you stood there at the back, you'd still be able to see that light of even a single candle very distinctly, wouldn't you? Now, just imagine. I'm not talking about a single candle light. We're talking about the light of a city. Not a campfire, not a street light, not even a series of street lights. We're talking about a city of light. And even that itself has a lot behind it. When we would consider what a city is, obviously, a city represents a community. It represents a population. It represents a people. And this case, the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us, or He likens us in that sense, that we are as a city of light that cannot be hid. That cannot be hid. Well, think about it. You could possibly hide a single street light. You could blow out a candle. But it's pretty hard. It's almost impossible to hide a city. I was thinking about that, and during the Second World War, the city of London had their blackouts, and they had the heavy drapes and everything that they would pull over their windows, and even the cars had the lights kind of slivered down so they wouldn't give too much light. But even at that, I'm sure there was still light that escaped, so to speak, from that city. A city that's set upon a hill cannot be hid. Well, what's the point? The point is that if you're truly saved, are you listening? If you're truly saved, there's no way that you can hide the light of the Lord Jesus Christ that is within you. Not that we should want to, but it's amazing that it seems that we would just assume at times nobody knew we were Christians. Terrible thing to say, preacher. Well, it's the truth, isn't it? There's times we just assume nobody knows. I've joked about that, about going somewhere and nobody would know I'm a preacher there. Nobody would know. But you know what? If you're truly saved, if the Son of God lives in you, there is no way that you can hide that. His light will break through and shine. Huh? And you will be that city that is set upon a hill. But notice here in verse 15, the Lord Jesus goes on, He says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. It would be kind of ridiculous, would it not, to light a candle and then cover it up. Be kind of a waste of the candle, and it'd certainly be a waste of the light. No, we would. It would be ridiculous to light the candle and then hide it. No, rather, when you light that candle, you'll put it on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And indeed, when we light that candle and we put it into the candlestick, it's with that hope, it's with the desire that it will give light. Notice, we as the lights of the Lord Jesus Christ give. And I'm not talking simply about monetarily. Certainly, those are right things as well, but that's a message for another day. But if you have the Lord Jesus Christ living in you, you will give. You will be a giver, not a taker. And that light that shines in you will be, number one, a blessing to those that are around you. It'll be a blessing. It'll give of the Lord Jesus Christ to those that are around. Is it a light that gives? It is also, as we see here, a light that shines. I know this is real profound, but we need to understand what kind of light we're supposed to be. In verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon making this statement concerning that we are indeed to be a light that's set upon a hill, a light that gives light to all that are in the house. And he says, let your light, my light, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We come then really to the point here. Our light is to shine. Our light is to shine not for ourselves. Our light is not to necessarily shine for Metropolitan Baptist Church. Our light is to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, as it shines for the Lord Jesus Christ, it will also shine for this church's testimony. It'll shine for your testimony. But number one, it is a light that is to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? How does that take place? Our light shines, beloved, as we live for God. As a takeoff from where we were preaching this morning. Our light shines when Jesus shines through us. When His light is, manifested through us. And I've got another illustration I want to add to that in a moment. It's a light that shines before men, as we just said. It's not just to shine, it's to shine before others. It's a testimony before others. And this word see in our passage, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. It's more, the word see there is more than just to be able to actually take note of something or to realize that it's there. The idea of this word means to see with the mind's eye. Now, how's that going to happen? How is someone going to see God's light shine and it means something more than just seeing you? Well, obviously, it's going to involve the manner of life that we live, the way in which we live. Our lives are to be then a shining and a clear testimony of what God has done in us. Right? We're to shine, our lives are to shine in such a way, dear ones, that folks can realize who we are. That we are the children of God. We are those Christ ones. Those little Christ, those Christians. And in that, with that in mind, that gives us understanding to those words, let your light so shine. It's to shine in such a way that folks can tell that you love God. That you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And it means something to you. It's essential to remember, as Colton brought out in his testimony, and I think Brother Curtis, it's not our light, is it? It's not our light. It's the light of the Lord Jesus Christ as He shines in us. You know, we're I enjoy doing this. Living in Texas, it doesn't happen too often to visit a lighthouse. We don't have too many lighthouses. Maybe somewhere along the coast down yonder, but we don't have too many lighthouses here. I've been to a lighthouse up on Lake Erie, but I've also been to a lighthouse off of San Diego. It's called Point Loma. Maybe some of y'all have been around through there. But it's interesting to go up in that lighthouse, and of course you get to see the out over the water there. But you know, I'm usually not looking out over the water. I'm always fascinated by that light. And when you look at that thing, and of course, if they open that door, you can see that lamp that's inside there. But the illustration is so perfect. Then the light that is projected from that lighthouse refracts through the lens, doesn't it? Through that glass that the lamp shines through. Beloved, we're just the lens. We're just the lens that is to project that light. Let that light of the Lord Jesus Christ shine through us. Now there's some illustrations there as well, aren't there? We need to make what's the lighthouse keeper do every day? He's up there doing what? Cleaning that lens. He's cleaning the glass. He's wanting to make sure that glass that surrounds that lamp is clean. That there's nothing there that in any way will cloud or shroud that light. That it will shine in the way that it was designed to shine. Did I say that right? Hope so. Says something to us, don't it? Live our lives in such a way that Jesus will shine through us. Without the restriction, without anything to hinder that light. And so that light that shines before man will be a light that shines for God's glory. Big thing here. Why? Why do we shine? Why should we desire to shine? And I'm going to say what the number one reason is, then I'll explain. Number one, we're to shine to the glory of the one that shines in us. Our number one purpose in shining for the Lord Jesus Christ is to give Him glory. Is to give our Savior glory. There's other reasons. There are many other reasons to shine. A couple, just two. We need to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ that other men would see, right? That others would see that light. And hopefully, they would be drawn to that light. They would be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. We need to shine in such a way so that we might see God's blessing in our own lives. Hey, I don't know about you. I need God's blessing. I desire God's blessing for myself and my home, my family. And those are both good reasons. They're right reasons to let our light shine before men. But if either of those reasons become the primary reason, we'll get focused on the secondary reasons rather than the primary reason. And again, you say, you lost me, preacher. If we get focused on letting our light shine so that folks would get saved, we will lose sight of that primary goal. That we shine for God's glory. We'll say, well, how could that be conflict? Well, if the primary reason for me to shine is to see folks saved, I may start tinkering with the light. Right? I may start tinkering with how that light shines through me in such a way as maybe I can make it a little easier. If we just leave off preaching about repentance and change life and such, make it easier for folk. But then we started messing with the light. My number one reason to shine is for what? To see the Lord Jesus Christ receive glory. His glory must be my number one reason for Jesus to shine in our lives. Leave the rest to Him. Make sure the lens is clean and make sure its beam is straight. Huh? Straight just the way it would given to us. Well, result, let's go on here. Seeking God's blessing. Even if seeking God's blessing becomes our primary goal, we'll end up, now I don't want to offend anybody, but if our primary reason for shining is to get God's blessing, quote unquote blessing, we may end up like the charismatics who becomes self-centered. That's one of my big problems with all that is that those gifts seem to become very self-serving. They're to be the opposite. It's to be the very opposite. The gifts of God are to be for the body's sake. But so often there's a self-centeredness about that thing. It's a self-focus rather than a God focus so often. But God's glory must be our primary goal. And our desire should be that Jesus Christ shine through us in His power and to His glory. Then we let Him take care of the rest. And He certainly will. But secondly, this evening, we've seen the exhortation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd also like us to see the exhortation of the Apostle Paul in Paul's letter to the Philippians. Turning over a little ways there to Paul's letter to the church there in Philippi. He says in chapter 2, in verse 14, just this first verse is convicting enough. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Well, that'd solve every church problem that ever existed, wouldn't it? That word murmuring is rather special. Special, all right. I mean, you don't have to have a definition of the word murmur. Just listen to the word. Murmur. Murmur, murmur, murmur. Murmur, 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 murmur. You know, what are we talking about? Murmuring. Murmur, 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 murmur. Murmur, 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 murmur. Huh? What's he say? Do all things without murmuring. And disputings. Why, Paul? That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. What's he say? Among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Isn't that a super passage? Boy, I love that. Let me read verse 15 again. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye, children of God, though saved and redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye shine as lights in the world. Well, very quickly, let's just further picture here what the Apostle Paul says. A Christian, then, number one, is a blameless light. Wow, that's difficult, isn't it? I wouldn't even ask for a show of hands here tonight. Who lives blamelessly? But Lord, help us that indeed, with the help of God and His mercy, that we would be those that would seek to live blamelessly. Blamelessly. A Christian is to be a blameless light. You know, certain kinds of light, and I'm going to get in trouble here, but what's new? Certain kinds of lights have a certain reputation associated with them. Isn't that right? An obvious example would be the old quote-unquote red light district of a city. Certain kinds of light have a reputation that goes with them. When I pick a restaurant, it may be I decide to drive right on by those that have the Bud Dumber sign. I mean, Bud, whatever it is, sign in the window. May decide I don't think I want to go in there and eat. Well, certain kinds of lights have a reputation to go with them. What's a good question that goes along with that? What kind of reputation does our light have? Ooh, that hurts. What kind of reputation does my light have? Is my light a light that folks would just as soon drive on by? I want my light to so shine, that it would be blameless, that it'd be a light of a good reputation. That takes work. You say, well, preacher, I thought we just supposed to let God shine, just live through us. Yeah, that's right. But it still requires responsibility. Responsibility to deal rightly. What kind of reputation shines forth from us? Well, according to this, Paul challenges us to have a blameless reputation. And again, we can't ever do anything about the accusations that might come. That'll come, so be it. But we can do right. We can seek to live without rebuke before the Lord. A Christian is to be a blameless light, but also to be a harmless light there in verse 15. You know, when we think about that, a type of light comes to mind immediately for me. A laser beam is nothing but what? Light. Light that is focused in a very special and precise and extremely powerful way. It's capable of tremendous things and capable of accomplishing all kinds of good. But that laser beam is also capable of doing harm, isn't it? Sure can. It can cause great damage if not used properly and in a harmless way. There's even been reports lately in the last little while of people using these laser pointers to blind pilots. I mean, that just blows my mind that somebody could do that, but the reports are out there. Our light is to be a harmless light. That we should seek. It should be our prayer, our desire, the purpose, a purpose to do no harm to folk along the way. You know, I know that sometimes we as quote-unquote independent, fundamental, Bible-believing and thumping Bible-thumping Baptists can have that reputation that we'd rather fight than do anything else. That's a sad reputation. Might we pray that God will allow us to build a harmless reputation? That we are a people that would desire to live blamelessly and harmlessly. That we're a people known for our desire and our purpose to do good for folk, to help that our light indeed would so shine in that way. As Christians, we have the potential, the obvious potential of doing good. We have the potential of serving our God for His glory and for the sake and benefit of ministering to others. Lord forbid, God forbid, that we would do harm in any way. But thirdly, a Christian is to be a distinct light. It says, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, our light, let's read that again, verse 15, that ye, you and I as believers, may be a blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, in the midst of that, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We are to be distinct lights. in this world. We're living in a crazy, mixed up world that is full of wickedness and crime and all the rest that goes with us, but we're to be different. We're to be distinctly different. Too often we end up stinking in this world. We need to be distinctively different for the glory of God. I talk about this all the time, but Christians are supposed to be different. We're to be different. When you go to the restaurant, the waitress should be a pleasure for the waitress to wait on you. Huh? I'm embarrassed. Sometimes I go to a restaurant with preachers and they are rude and to the waitress and that. I find myself wanting to do everything I can to make up for them. You go to Walmart. You know what I mean? Hey, my wife can tell you, when we go to Walmart, it's my goal to try to get a smile off of that gal when she's checking us out. She says, "What are you doing? Do you know her?" And I said, "No, I'm just trying to see if I can get her to smile." Who knows who just chewed her out because their bubble gum wrapper wasn't just right or something. You know, it's silly. I remember being with at McDonald's one time with a family member. That way it'll keep me safe. And the gal overcharged this person 25 cents. And 25 cents is a quarter. That's sure. That's right. With that and another buck and a half, you could get a cup of coffee somewhere. But this individual, man, they went back and they were going to get that thing straightened out. And I'm thinking, what's the point? Yes, if they didn't I would probably say, "Hey, I think you owe me a quarter." But, you know, how many times have you been in the line and the clerk gave you an extra dollar and you gave it back? I remember one time in a good old Walmart. How do we avoid Walmart? I was in a Walmart in a town outside of Youngstown, Ohio. And we were there. I was picking up something for Marcia. And the gal had gave me back, I think it was an extra $5 bill. And I started to turn. And I stick it in my wallet. And I saw that there was an extra $5 bill. And I turned back to her and gave it to her. You know, you couldn't believe how relieved she was. I mean, they're going to balance that drawer later on, and she'd be $5 short. And she says, "Oh, thank you so much." And the guy behind me, he says, "Wow," he's real loud, "Wow, an honest man." And I said, "No, just a man saved by grace." Just a sinner saved by grace. And that's what it's, hey, how's our light to shine? We're to be distinctively different, that when folks see how we live, what our character and our spirit is. There's where the bottom line. Our spirit should manifest something different. Huh? Not that grumbly, grouchy old bear that just crawled out of the woods. But if we have that sweet spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ shining through us. Well, lastly, the Christian is a gospel light. Christian is a gospel light. Verse 16 of our passage here in Philippians 2. As we shine as the lights in this world, we're holding forth the word of life. The word of life. Paul says his desire for those folks at Philippi to shine in that fashion, that he might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run in vain, neither labored in vain. What a tremendous statement. The idea is that we're holding something out here, that holding forth the word of life. What's that mean? Well, we're holding forth the gospel. But the gospel's not just a plan, is it? The gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're holding forth the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news concerning Him. And it's a sense, when you hold something forth, what are you doing? It's an offer, isn't it? Our light, the way we live, is to be, in a very real sense, an offer of the Lord Jesus Christ to others that we come in contact with every day. You know, I spend the vast majority of my time every week sitting in that cave at the end of the hall back there. The average person in our church is more contact in a day with other folks than I have in a week. God is pleased to put me in a place, set me aside, where I can study and pray and hopefully have food, have some light to offer you. But folk, you have the opportunity to be amongst those folks at the job, at the schoolhouse. We all have the opportunity to hold forth the light of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Might our lives, in a very real sense, do that very thing. Now, I feel like I need to caution this way. You know, we could be a dynamo witness everywhere we go, tell folks about how they could get saved. If you don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll spend eternity in hell. And then be a grouch and a grump, that mean bear we were talking about earlier, and it just cancels out. Cancels out. The light. Hey, what did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Let your light so shine. Let it shine in such a way that it is that clear offer of the Word of life. That when folks see your light. Hey, by the way, we do need to live for the glory of God. We understand that. Our testimony is very important. But no one gets saved by seeing your testimony. Follow me. No one will get saved by seeing you do right, live right, even being, now let's follow me in this, even being Christ-like will not save anybody. How is somebody saved? Pardon? Faith in Christ. How are they going to receive that faith in Christ? Faith cometh by hearing, and they got to hear. They got to hear. But my life better back up my lip. And my lip is the manifestation of that life that God has sown in us. The two go together. They're inseparable. And so always remember, beloved, that indeed we are to live our lives in such a way that they so shine before men, that they will be that holding forth of the Word of life. Now, just in conclusion, you know, I often think of old Lot, Abraham's nephew. And I think about him at different times, and the Bible says that Lot was a saved man. Hard to believe. When we read the account in Genesis, it's hard to believe that he was a saved man, given what we have there. Made such a terrible mess of his life. Lost all testimony to the world. His light for God was zilch. Was zilch. Saddest part, his light was meaningless even to his own family. It's a very sad, even a revolting story, isn't it? Concerning Lot. And we won't go into all that. And we're familiar with that day when the Lord Jesus Christ, that pre-incarnate appearing of Christ with those other two angels, came to Abraham's camp. And as they were leaving, the angel of the Lord made known unto Abraham what he was going to do in Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham interceded, did he not? He was interceding for the cities of the plain. Now, I want to make this clear. This is a bit of conjecture on my part, okay? But when you consider Lot and his wife and his children and their spouses, it's very clear that there were at least 10 members of Lot's family living there in Sodom. And as Abraham interceded with the angel of the Lord, what did the angel? How many did the angel of the Lord say that if he found how many righteous there, he'd spare all? I mean, thousands. 10. My heart, again, this is conjecture. My heart tells me that Abraham was holding on to the possibility that Lot's family would be the 10 that would cause God to spare the thousands that it ultimately perished in Sodom and Gomorrah. Here we had a man that failed to let his light shine even in his own home. And ultimately, his failure, even in his own home, cost the lives of thousands. You say, well, preacher, what's the point? We understand that. Yeah, the point I'm trying to make is that we don't know. We don't know what the impact of our light can be if we do indeed let it so shine before men as the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know what that impact might be. It could be traumatic, either for good or for evil. And I say that just to try to motivate us this evening, okay? It's okay to look for motivation for things, isn't it? I wanted my light to so shine for the good, for God's glory. I indeed want my light to shine in such a way that as we would hold forth the word of life, that folk would want that light. That they want what we have to offer. Let our light so shine. Let's stand. Father, we bow before you tonight. And Lord, I'm so grateful, so thankful for your goodness to us. I'm thankful for that day when you commanded the light to shine in the darkness of my heart and life. So thankful, Father, for the word of life that others hailed forth to me. And so, Father, tonight I just pray for us as a church, as a people here. Lord, help us that we indeed would trim our light in such a way that it would shine for the glory, for the honor, for the praise of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the honor. Thank you for the privilege. But also, Father, help me, help us all to accept the responsibility that goes with it as well. We love you, Lord. And Lord, I realize more and more with every day I live that I love you because you first loved me. Because you first loved us. So, Father, this evening, I pray that you would just help us, show us your goodness and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother John, as we sing, just might the Word of God just settle in our hearts. Might the Word of God do in us what God would order for it today.
Page 439.
Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by His blessed example. Happy, how happy the songs that we bring. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light.
You know, one guy escaped me earlier, two guys, Joseph, but also Stephen sitting back there in the video booth. Stephen, do you have anything you wanted to share with the church family about the weekend?
I don't know what I could
ask. Yeah, I just wanted to give you opportunity, buddy. Amen. I think they all had a great time. And Chase, hold up your hands. Just hold up your hands like this. Okay, they're not shaking anymore. After that ride home with the preacher, they seems like his nerves have calmed down. That's good. All right, Curtis, you come.
Gentlemen, if y'all come forward and receive this evening's offering. One thing I'd like to add, one more thing to what they talked about. When they're talking about the giant of, you know, Goliath in the plains of the city. And he's there for how many days? 40 days? Calling for battle. And David come down. And he was the one ready to fight him. Everybody else. And one of the little things that just stuck in my mind, they got used to him. They got used to seeing him there. And that was a challenge to me. What do I have in my life that I'm used to seeing that maybe I need to get out of the way? You know, it's right there in plain sight the whole time. So that was a challenge personally for me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, bless this offering about to receive with the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A few announcements. Today is the day. And fixing to close the books on the ladies' banquet. $5 a person if you're not paid, Miss Deborah. The ladies who's decorating the tables, they are set up, ready to go. I'd imagine just any time you want to come up during the week to do it, we can get things open, the lights turned on, and we'll get somebody out there fanning you or something. Let's see. Churchwide work day is next Saturday. Hey, we got some spring cleaning we need to do. Everybody show up a little bit. You know, if everybody does a little bit, we can get a lot done. The aprons and table decorations, if you've taken them home to decorate, we need those back pretty quick. Fellowship brunch next Monday. TTU fall class registration and course forms are on the back. And again, about 8 weeks, roughly, before camp. Start praying for us right now. And see that makes a difference. Tuesday, teachers meeting, okay. Of course, ladies' visitation on Wednesday, and youth choir practice at 6:15. And you want to make announcements about that? You hand it over to you.
All right, we are starting up BBS this year, but very short notice. In about 10 weeks, we're going to be having it July 9th through the 13th is the tentative date so far. I'm going to leave a sign-up sheet in the back. Please sign up if you're available, even just maybe 1 or 2 days, something, even if you're just available to help out, to help set up. We've got a lot to do. We're the city on a hill right here. We've got a lot of others looking in. We need to shine this light bright. We have a great opportunity with these young kids. So I pray that if you feel burdened, even if you can't do it, if you're busy, you're working, and you can just pray for us just once a day. Pray that the Lord would use this and we could see souls saved out of it. That'd be great. Thank you.
Let's be dismissed with our chorus, He Lives.
He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today.
He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
Amen. You're dismissed.